your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to Alchemy. Excited for a fun show today. I'm joined with my good friend, Aristotle Loomis, co-founder at Philo, and Stephen Galanis, co-founder and CEO at Cameo. We all know Cameo from their app. You can book personalized shout outs from your favorite celebs. Guys, it's really great to have you on the show together.
Thanks for having me. And you forgot to mention investor in Philo as well. That should go in my bio.
Investor too. Love that.
It goes further than that. Investor, my kumbaro. So in Greek, it's kind of a double whammy. It's the best man, also godfather of my firstborn. So the family ties go deep.
Agreed. Jeff, you really undersold me there.
Oh man, this is going well already. Well, Stephen, yeah, really awesome to have you on the show. And you've been recognized as Hollywood's top innovator by Hollywood Reporter. You were named 40 under 40 by Crain's Chicago Business. And you were also Innovator of the Year by Chicago Inno. So, you know, congrats on all of that. But, you know, give us the lowdown. What has really been the key to your success?
Well, I think there's a couple different things. So prior to COVID and shelter in place, we thought that we just had a really good value prop to talent. You know, at its core, Cameo's value prop to talent is you can come on Cameo and get paid to make your biggest fans bigger fans of you, right? Like, that's a pretty cool value prop. And the fact that, like, we pay you to become more famous, like, that's something that really resonated with people. And on the talent, on the customer side, if you're a fan, I believe in the world of social. The average person might have like 10 favorite people in the world. And in the world of social, like sometimes three of those 10 people you've never met in real life. These are podcast hosts that you listen to religiously, or people that you watch all their TikTok videos, or you used to watch their Vines, or people who you subscribe to their YouTube channel, celebrities who you watch their story on Instagram every day. Social media has allowed content creators to get so close to their fans that they really have developed this intimacy. Yet, because social platforms have blown up so much, it's harder for the fan to ever meet their favorite creator in real life. And I really think that Cameo did a great job bridging that gap and democratizing access to talent. So that was kind of pre-COVID, and then, you know, post shelter in place, you know, we were really trying to create the new autograph. And one of the things that we tried to solve at the beginning was, how do you take a selfie with somebody in a world where you don't meet them in real life, right? That was an original question we tried to solve at Cameo. And in a socially distant world where every athlete, actor, celebrity, musician, comedian is sitting on their couch just like you or I, they're not able to interact with their fans anymore. And they're turning to Cameo and other platforms to be the bridge to give them that, you know, that special joy that they get from being recognized and making someone's day. And on the customer side, you know, it's just Mother's Day. Think about how many moms out there weren't able to spend Mother's Day with their kids because of social distancing. And, you know, people are still having birthdays. They're still graduating from college. Babies are being born. Engagements are happening. Weddings are happening, even if the service isn't happening. People still need a medium to share love and hugs and joy in a world where you can't kiss someone or hug them or see them in real life. And, you know, that's why our business has really exploded, you know, in my opinion, after COVID, because, you know, life's moments are still happening, even though we can't see people. And it's been pretty crazy to just see, you know, how our business has been transformed since shelter in place.
I love it. So, you know, on the topic of monetizing fame, right? I think that, you know, you were obviously one of the co-founders, and Cameo has been able to generate over 10,000 other world's top actors, athletes, influencers to create the most authentic experiences. Walk us through how you actually came up with the idea and how it was brought to life.
First off, you know, again, like, this thing has exploded so much. We're now up to over 30,000 talent on the platform, you know, which is crazy. And then as far as how we had the idea, we actually had the idea leaving my Yaya, my grandmother's funeral. And I was in the car with Martin, my good friend and now co-founder, and he was an NFL agent, and he showed me a video that he'd gotten made to congratulate a friend of his who had just become a father. This guy was an executive at Nike, and he loved the Seattle Seahawks more than anything. And Martin got this player, Cassius Marsh, to record a 10-second video congratulating this guy on becoming a father and telling him that, you know, hopefully his son would grow up one day to play for the Seahawks, just like he did. And this guy loved the video so much, he put it on Instagram. He said it was the best gift he ever got. And, you know, the second I saw one of those, the eureka, you know, moment happened, the light bulb moment happened. And I'm like, we should sell that shit.
It's amazing how you like really come up with concepts and ideas in the strangest times. You know, and I think just from a career path perspective, like I always love hearing about how everybody wound up where they are today. And I think even taking it back to pre-Cameo, you know, you've had a very dynamic, interesting career. You know, you were an options trader, you were a trailer producer, you were even a senior account executive at LinkedIn. And, you know, here you are today, you know, running a pretty awesome company. And I'm just curious, as far as, you know, getting you to where you are today, was it about networking and personalized connections that was kind of your sweet spot, has always been a goal of yours? Like, talk to us a little bit about that.
So those conversations are always interesting, because in retrospect, it always is like, oh, well, you know, you did A that led to B that led to C that led to, you know, this thing that you're running. But in retrospect, like, I think it's in retrospect, it's easy to like connect the dots. But I think in real time, like the story is a lot different. And it's actually kind of a lot simpler, right? I'm one of the 3% of people on earth that like literally has the entrepreneur personality type. If you go to that 16personalities.com and you take your personality type, I'm one of the 3% of people on earth with that weird mutation in their brain that makes them an entrepreneur. And, you know, Aristotle is certainly one of those as well. And our brains are different. And ultimately, I don't believe that if you're an entrepreneur, you know, you're ever going to be fulfilled kind of working for someone else unless they give you leeway to like take your ideas and run with them. I felt, you know, throughout my career, while I did some really cool stuff, you know, options trading and being at LinkedIn, I did always feel kind of constrained by, like, you know, at the end of the day, that Jordan documentary just came up, and I think Jordan, you know, at the end of the game, he always wanted the ball in his hands, and yeah, he's willing to miss a shot, but like what would kill him is like to not have that opportunity. And for me, like, while I learned different things at different stops in my career, I always did feel that I was kind of being, you know, constrained and held back. And that's one of the reasons why at Cameo, I've really prioritized hiring people that I know one day will be CEOs and founders, and not, they're entrepreneurs. They're like me. And while the 22-year-old version of me was having a clerk at the Board of Trade, and, you know, it took longer to get, you know, badged up and have the opportunity. And I noticed that other people that were older than me got the opportunity just because of seniority versus like intelligence. And that was something that always, you know, just kind of held me back. And I swore to myself that whenever I ran a company, it was never would I run a company, it was when I would run a company, that I would give the 22 or 23-year-old version of me that comes along in the future the opportunity to come and thrive at, you know, at a company like mine. And, you know, to this day, like Jackson Jin, who's our 24-year-old CFO, right? Like, you know, I've just recognized greatness in someone like him, and I've let him run and empowered him to, you know, try to become the best possible entrepreneur that he can be. And right now it happens to be him helping build my dream, but, you know, one day in the future, I fully expect that he'll have an idea and I'll, you know, hopefully be the first call and get to help him build that one. So to me, I think the things that, you know, you make some great relationships everywhere. Had I not been trading, I probably would have never like ended up in the entertainment business. While I was trading, I remember in 2012, Lone Survivor came out, and I rented the theater out to take all the guys from the trading pit at the CBOE to go see the movie. And all the guys were like, Steven, why the hell are you trading in the pit? And why aren't you like in LA being a movie producer? And, you know, I did what any entrepreneur would do. I sat in the pit where I was making money and I started fundraising from the guys in the pit. And that led me to producing my first couple movies and television shows. And then, you know, being at LinkedIn, one thing that was super interesting there that I did take away was the very first day I went to work at LinkedIn, Mike Gamson, who at the time was, you know, running all sales at LinkedIn, he gets on stage and he goes, welcome to LinkedIn. 2 years from today, none of you will be doing the job I just hired you for. I know that, you know, we know that we support it and we literally have the profile data to prove it. Your job in the next 2 years is to become the best version of yourself so you can get your dream job, whether that's internal or external. All we ask is that you become the best version of yourself while you're here. You know, you do the best job you can. And when you're ready to leave, you recruit someone better than yourself to take your place. And to me, that was just game changing, like mindset shift. When I was trading, if I had ever told my boss, like, hey, like, you know, I don't want to trade this product, I want to trade that product, like, you know, I'd probably be like, well, fuck off. But the thing that's cool about tech is everybody was always thinking about what could be. And in trading, it was always like, man, you missed 08, you missed 99, you missed 01, you missed the 80s. Like the feeling was like all the great stuff had happened and, you know, you were kind of holding on for dear life. And in tech, everything was like, the feeling was always, man, the best things are yet to come. And you know, mindset wise, I think tech has been a much better place for me than finance.
Yeah. So I think there's a theme in what you said, and I think the importance of personality in terms of authenticity. And I think that's something that you and I really resonated and connected on in our earlier days of just being an authentic and personable entrepreneur, regardless of what the outside world thinks of you, is just always stay true to who you are. And I think that there's a good overlap in how that, you know, speaks to products and brands. And so how important do you think personalization and authenticity is to consumers and also brands today?
Well, I mean, obviously, I think it's extremely important. Our mission at Cameo is to create the most personalized and authentic fan experiences on earth. We put those words in for a reason, you know, and I think, like, you know, you've known me since Cameo was one desk at 1871. And you know, my passion for what I do is unchanged from that point. It's not like, oh, Cameo blew up, so now I'm excited about it, right? Like, I was equally as excited and equally as enthusiastic when this was just an idea as, you know, as I am now that we've done almost a million of them. And when I think about authenticity, at least in our brand, we made a big, this was a brand decision. We actually decided to create, to really highlight authenticity over high quality from the earliest days. So we wanted the talent to like shoot an iPhone video and like they might be driving, they might have no shirt on, they might, you know, be in bed. Like that's kind of the fun of it versus like putting cameras and action and lights and sound people and all that type of stuff. So yeah, I felt like authenticity was something that was a trend. And I think now with the rise of TikTok, you've seen that becoming even bigger trend. You know, I feel like people around the world are spending less time in their filtered existence on Instagram. And now, you know, the world is wanting more like raw, authentic content. And at least in Cameo's, you know, vision of how the world was changing, that's where we always saw the puck going.
That's great. So Steven, I want to just, you know, switch gears just a tiny little bit, just because, you know, our background and what we're doing in the space. And, you know, obviously everything we do right now is kind of laser focus on the cannabis market. And, you know, we've seen such a huge rush of celebrities, you know, getting into the space. So if you look at like Brett Favre, like into the CBD side, Seth Rogen, Jim Belushi, Chelsea Handler, Pete Davidson. I mean, the list goes on, right? And so there is a lot of public figures and a lot of celebrities that are really getting involved in cannabis, whether it's flower or ingestibles or CBD. And I'm just curious, you know, you're kind of tied in with this market pretty heavily. You know, what are your thoughts around, you know, those folks getting involved in the space?
Well, two things. I think to the authenticity point, for a lot of them, they were probably passionate about the product before before you were legally allowed to be able to for some of these things, right? So I think that's pretty natural. Snoop Dogg's another one that I know has gotten into all types of things. I think with a lot of talent, it's just like an extension of live what you sell, or sell what, sell what you live, whatever. And then the second thing is, I think for a lot of these people, or not so much the people, but the brands today, I think increasingly recognize the unique power that celebrities have to be transformative. And there are so many good examples of this, whether it's, what Kylie has been able to do with the cosmetic line.
Joe Rogan and Spotify yesterday.
Spotify deal. And, I think like Clooney and the guys, like what they did in the tequila business, right? Like talent are a distribution. They are a brand, like Gwyneth Paltrow, Jessica Alba, like because they have huge followings on social, it's so much easier for a celebrity to basically get behind a brand and then launch it versus the brand having to organically build up its own followings. At Cameo, we've been really lucky because we have 30,000 talent that basically come up and have, via their presence on the platform, almost like done the audience building, on our behalf. Like they've promoted Cameo. They've turned their followers into our customers. Then from there, the network effects come out. But when 30,000 people are posting about something, it really has created, this pretty iconic like brand that we've been building. And I think for most emerging brands, the quickest way to kind of get some type of distribution is really to partner with some celebrity with reach and get them to, to really be a partner and post about it. And then that gives your product ultimate credibility.
So speaking of icons, Snoop Dogg has been making headlines with his beef with disgraced rat 69. How do you think an icon like Snoop Dogg, how cannabis brands could leverage an icon like Snoop Dogg and Cameo in their marketing strategies?
Again, I think it's just like being authentic to oneself, right? Like I was watching one of Snoop's cameos yesterday and, he's smoking a big blunt in it. And I'm sure that there's probably a brand out there that would love to have him, drop what strain he's smoking and where do you get it, right? So I think that's a very natural way, but it has to be authentic, right? And it has to be, if it feels like product placement, that's never going to work. And I think you're going to see rejection from the consumer on it. But part of it is just partnering with like very authentic people. Snoop is an icon. He's authentic. And that's because he's, in many ways, like the same person that, today that he was when we were growing up. You know what he's about. And he's not a Johnny come lately to this space. And there's other people like that I think, just need to be mobilized more.
Makes a lot of sense. So, Steven, I was just kind of rifling through a little bit of background on you guys, and I just came across this, but you guys were recently named the most innovative social media company in 2020 from Fast Company, which is pretty dope. And, along with that, you guys were also the 50 most genius companies by Time Magazine a couple years ago. And so I think we see a lot of companies that, have good ideas and they execute and some do well and some don't. But I feel like for you guys, you've had this incredible kind of hockey stick curve in such a short amount of time. So I'm just curious, what was it you think that really kind of accelerated the growth like very quickly?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the core. So first off, like those lists, obviously they're an honor, but they don't mean shit if you don't have a product that people love, right? Like otherwise it's just PR. I think we were able to get on that list, especially like the Time one. Like in 2018, we had 17 employees and, we're this little tiny startup in Chicago and we were on Time's 50 genius companies list with like Airbnb and like Disney and Nike, right? It's like crazy, crazy for us to be there. But I think the mission, it just shows that the mission that we're on is such a worthy mission. Like everyone, I don't care who you are, you have someone you look up to. And, for us to like be the facilitator, for us to be the person opening the red velvet rope and letting you through to meet, you know, your hero. I think that's something that's really captivating. I also think too, like just being in sports and entertainment media, like there's just an inherent sexiness that comes there. So there's a lot of other, you know, world changing great ideas that get a hell of a lot less press with us because, you know, celebrities get pressed for going to the grocery store, right? Like think of a company like TMZ, it's just built on like, oh, like, you know, Jared Leto got a coffee today, like, and wore these sweatpants, right? It's like, so they care a lot about celebrities in general. So the fact that we've been able to harness that and like build it into a marketplace is a pretty unfair advantage. The other thing that I'd say is an unfair advantage for us is that we're building a marketplace like Uber, Instacart, or Airbnb, but the difference in our marketplace or Grubhub versus our marketplace or Grubhub is that our supply, our talent can market themselves, right? They, for the same reasons we talked about why cannabis brands are partnering with talent, it's because they have distribution, right? They can send a tweet out and change the game for a brand. You know, our supply can market themselves. And that's one of the things that has just caused us to explode. You know, if you have a vacation rental on Airbnb, like it can't market itself. Like an Uber driver doesn't have a way to like, you know, be the one that you're picking to like pick you up. Like the same thing with grocery stores. They just don't, you know, have that distribution. Like restaurants on Grubhub, like they don't have, you know, millions of followings. So for us, like that's been our secret sauce, and it's harnessing all of the collective power of all these disparate networks and getting them to function together. That's what's been magic for Cameo.
I love it. I think, you know, kind of also taking it back a little bit and on the subject of accolades, I think that, you know, I've been there, as you alluded to earlier, about the one seat desk and how you've been able to build the culture. You know, I've gone to the parties, I've gone to the activations, and authenticity is so at the core of what you guys do. And I think that translates into corporate culture. I know that you guys have been able to win some accolades on that front too. You know, America's Best Startup Employers and Forbes, and, you know, your four main components, core values, right? The roll out the red carpet, run through raws, fight for simplicity, no surprises, make it fun. You know, what is your approach in terms of culture? And as a CEO, you know, how do you translate that into your leadership style?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. A couple months ago at All Hands, somebody asked, like, why are we spending money throwing an NBA All-Star party, right? Like, and you know, and ultimately, like, you know, you can talk about ROI, you can talk about, you know, brand play, all that type of stuff. But yesterday at All Hands, we were talking about something similar. We're about to cross our millionth Cameo, and we want to do something completely outlandish for that. And, you know, I was going and giving the, you know, the normal party lines of like, why we do this, why we do that. And Devin literally just got on the horn. He goes, it's literally our mission. Like, we exist as a company to do things like this. Like, our mission is to create the most personalized, authentic fan experiences on earth. Like, this is our mission. Like, we as a company, we work hard every day so we can do things like that party, or we can do things like what we're going to do for the millionth Cameo, or we can do things like, you know, have activations at Super Bowl or whatever it is. Like, that's literally why we exist. Like, that's why we work hard every day. And it was awesome to hear Devin articulate that, because, hey, he's totally right. It's like, that's why we exist. We cannot make it fun as a value at Cameo. Roll out the red carpet is a value at Cameo. Run through walls. Like, all these values, like, they're not just things on the wall. Like, it's how we try to live every day. And frankly, like, if you don't want to live that way, like, then this isn't the right place for you.
Steven, Aristotle has been talking about this for, like, quite a while. And we got to get him on Cameo because he's got such a huge fan base.
Definitely. I don't think I'm quite there yet, but I could do it for charity.
We'll sign him up.
That'd be fun.
I'm on. I've done like 600 or 700 of them. So I'm sure there's some, especially some legacy Ellison fans out there that I think would love him, or, you know, Marcus Lemonis diehard that, you know, just were so captivated by his episode, right?
I think, you know, it only makes sense. You know, as you said, I'm a fan, but also a user, so similar to the cannabis. So I would love to get on there. But kind of going back to the last question, as you said, writing on the wall, You know, offices are going digital now. People are working from home. The landscape is changing. How do you write those values on a wall that might not be there anymore? As you know, you've seen innovators and progressive people like Jack at Twitter, you know, completely implement a policy work from home in its entirety for the future. So walk us through kind of how you've been able to respond to COVID, what your plans are. And I know you and I have talked offline about maybe not even signing a lease. So we'd love to hear if that's changed or what you're going to do in terms of your distributed workforce.
Yeah, that's a great question. So first off, I mean, I'm like fully bought in that distributed is better than the model that we have. Like there is no, I mean, think about, like there's a lot of good things that happen by putting people in place every day, but like there's also a lot of bullshit too, right? It's like office politics or just like, you know, just things of people being uncomfortable about this position, like physical space, like, oh, it's too hot, too cold. It's just like, get rid of the nonsense. Like just go and get your shit done. And I saw a funny tweet from a CEO right, like probably the second week after COVID started. And he said, like, well, three hypotheses that I think every CEO has validated, you know, since COVID started. Number one, you know, number one, like office politics, like don't translate to, you know, remotely or don't translate really over Zoom. You know, two, you know, every company is probably twice as big as it needs to be. Right. Like, I think when managers are in a, especially like in a place where like last year we raised a lot of money. Naturally, managers are feeling like, oh, I just need people and I need to build teams. But then they realize like at some point it gets a lot harder to manage a bigger team. So, you know, I know at Cameo, like for us, I've made the burden now for people to hire like so much higher. One thing that we've done and implemented that I think is pretty cool. One of my advisors said that, you know, before any manager is allowed to even post a job role, make them write the 12-month A+ performance review for that person. And then like that should be the job spec. It shouldn't say 3 to 5 years experience, like went to a top college. Like that, all that shit is just literally table stakes, right? But what's the actual job that you're hiring someone to do? I felt like last year at Cameo, when we grew from 17 people to 150, there were just points where managers were hiring people and, you know, they didn't know what they wanted them to do and that employee didn't know what they wanted them to do. So right now, like I'm really trying to build rigor around, you know, our onboarding process, like who we're recruiting, who we're retaining, what roles we need. Does everyone know why these people like are here? Like why are, you know, all that type of stuff. And I think like in some ways when you're not in an office, like output, it's just so much easier to measure, right? Because you're not biased by like the, you know, the, you know, kind of intangibles of like, oh, that's just someone everybody likes to have around. It's like, you should always, everybody should be that. But like, are you, you know, are you like actually having output? That I think that's pretty critical. And, you know, as far as the office, like, I believe, you know, Cameo has been held back in some regards by being geographically limited to hiring in Chicago and LA. And, you know, you think of all the layoffs at Uber and Airbnb and all these great companies in the Valley. If I can open it up and tell anyone, hey, you don't have to live in Chicago. You don't have to live in LA. You can be in Seattle or San Francisco or New York. Like I can go fishing for much, you know, a much deeper talent pool. And, you know, I'm fully committed to building a distributed team. We did not sign a lease in Chicago and, you know, kind of crazy story, our building got bought, but like, I'm not planning to sign one anytime soon either. Right. Like I think that this has made our company stronger. I think we communicate better and I think we'll continue to, you know, when shelter in place is up, you know, we'll continue to find cool ways to build culture. You know, we're doing innovative things like Zoom dinners or, you know, happy hours, talent shows, all these type of things, but like, you don't need an office to do that. So I'm totally fine, like going distributed. And look, I'm happy if we try this out and it doesn't work, like, you know, we'll find another solution. But for right now, I think in the next 6 months, while all the big companies are working remotely, like we should be trying to hire the best people in the world, no matter where they are. And any companies that not doing that, I think will regret it a lot when this is over.
I love that, democratizing talent, but in a different sense as an employer. So that's amazing. I resonate well with that because I had a small stint in my prior venture raising capital via equity crowdfunding. And one thing that resonated well with what you just said is, the opportunity is, they say entrepreneurship is an equal sport, but in reality it isn't. It's kind of comprised in the coast. And so I resonate well with what you just said, because you're opening up the Cameo opportunity to people that might live in Minnesota or Iowa or places that are overlooked. And so I love how you're bringing that opportunity in your hiring process and giving people that might be hungry, just not have the opportunity to work at a place like Cameo because of their location. So love that.
When I was at LinkedIn, Jeff Weiner used to always say, talent is equally distributed, but opportunity is not. And, opportunity for so many people, especially in tech, is clustered in a few places. And then everyone else doesn't really have that opportunity. So for a company like ours, if that can be something that we do to level the playing field, and other companies are not going to, some will follow suit and a lot won't. They'll keep doing things the way that they've been done. This is an opportunity for us to find an arbitrage and to find, I can't tell you how many people have hit me up on LinkedIn or DM me over the last couple of years. Steven, I'm obsessed with Cameo. I want to work for you, but I live in, like you said, Minnesota, or I'm in Texas. When are you going to come down to Miami? Right. Why are we saying no to these people? Bring them in. Let's get them.
Well, that's the same thing with Jeff Weiner at LinkedIn. He was always touting, and I've been with him when he said this multiple times, we don't care where you are. If you want to work from home, just get the work done. So I think we have, we're seeing a lot of that on our end too. People are working harder than they ever have been. And it doesn't matter if they're in corporate or they're somewhere else. Stephen, we really appreciate you going through Cameo and all the great things that you guys are doing. And, if you've listened to the show, we kind of talk business in the beginning and then we just end it really quickly with some quick fire questions for you. Nothing difficult. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. Nickname your parents used to call you when you were a kid.
The mayor.
I've heard that one too. How many hours of sleep do you need?
4.
How do you start your day?
Twitter.
Okay, the questions are getting harder. What's your favorite place and meal in Chicago?
La Spirola.
And what's the meal?
Steak Vesuvio and pasta fragile.
Mm. That was actually our last COVID meal too, about 2-3 months ago.
Yeah, we had a last supper at La Scarola the night before shelter in place. And that's what I got.
I saw that on Instagram, Aristotle. all right, scale of 1 to 10, how good are you at wiffle ball?
Wiffle ball? I'm certainly all-star, if not potentially Hall of Fame caliber.
So that, okay, that's a 10.
I don't believe in tens in general, so I believe that I'm probably in the high 8, low 9 handle.
All right, you're a 1, you're a 9-1-2. How about that?
I follow the same ideology.
I think Portnoy would say that you shouldn't go to 2 digits; you should stay to 1. So we call it a 9.1 at wiffle ball.
Speaking of sports and Portnoy, and in honor of spring ball, are you Cubs or Sox?
Cubs.
Now this, we're going to end it big. The million-dollar question, what are you going to do for the millionth Cameo?
And I want to build Willy Wonka-style FOMO and hype. So if you got great ideas, hit me up on LinkedIn. But we want to do something that just makes people go, wow.
Awesome. Well, Stephen, thanks again for coming on the show. And congrats to all your success. And we'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you, Stephen. Have fun at Cali. We'll see you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.